Amen. This morning we are starting a series. We've been talking about doors. And last week we talked about Jesus is the door. Jesus said that. Jesus said that in John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. And so last week we talked about on Easter Sunday how Jesus is the door. He came to the cross to die for our sins, and he opened the door that allowed us to come back into God's presence. The door had been closed in the Garden of Eden, but Jesus opened the door. And I loved, I shared it last week, Reinhard Bonnke, great minister from, has had massive revivals and things all over Africa. Hundreds of thousands of people saved this man's ministry. And he said, Jesus took the wood from the cross and he built a door. I love that. He took the wood from the cross and he made a door. And of course, Jesus himself in Hebrews tells us he is the door. He's the veil that was replaced when the veil in the temple was torn into. Jesus' body, the Bible says, became the veil that allows us to come in to God's presence, just like we did in worship this morning. Aren't you thankful we can come into God's presence? And you can go there anytime you want to. You don't have to wait and go once a year like they did in the Old Testament. You don't have to drag a bull or a goat along behind you. Come on, aren't you thankful? You don't have to do all of that. Jesus paid the price. He is the door, and he's opened wide the way to come into God's presence. Well, we're going to continue talking about doors, but we're going to transition just a little bit. And this week, we're going to be starting a series on closing the door of divorce. How many of you know that in our country, divorce is at an all-time high? They say one out of every two marriages, 50%. Of all marriages now, whether they be Christian people, whether they be non-Christian, they are ending in divorce. And the devil is attacking families. He's attacking marriages like never before. And I hate that we're, I almost hate that we're doing this on a Sunday when we've got several couples that couldn't be here, but it's going to be good for you that are, and we'll do this again sometime. But we want to close the door on divorce. We never want to see divorce come into any of the marriages that are in our church. Amen. We don't want the devil coming in to your home, coming into your family. And listen, if you're here today and you've been divorced, this is not a, we're going to slap you around and make you feel bad. We understand that things happen. Divorces happen. Divorces touched many people, and we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But we want to close the door as best we can so that the door of God's blessing, the door that Jesus opened, is opened in our lives and our marriages, our families. There was an elderly couple that was sitting by the fire one night. As the husband was sitting there, he suddenly got this romantic urge. Hadn't had a romantic urge in many, many years. And so he reached up and wiped off his glasses, and he kind of combed his hair over, and he leaned over to his wife and he said, after 60 years of marriage, I found you tried and true. And her hearing was all but gone. And she said, what did you say? And he said, I said, after 60 years, I found you tried and true. And she said, huh, well, after 60 years, I'm tired of you too. How many of you know there might have been some communication problems there? And we're going to deal with some of that in this series. But for next 2 weeks, we're going to have some special things going on, and then we'll return to this series on the first Sunday in May, same Sunday that we start our marriage Sunday school class. And so I really encourage you to get plugged into that. It's going to be great. You know, and it's funny, this week Renee was on the phone with Lindsay Bullard, and they were talking, and Lindsay said, you know, I just know that God is wanting to strengthen marriages in our church. And so she's sharing this with Renee. She said, I just know this. I know that God is getting ready to do something and he wants to strengthen. She didn't know what I was preaching on. She didn't know what Renee and I had been talking about and what I was meeting to talk to Larry about. But God knows. And to me, that was a confirmation of what we are doing in the direction that we're heading. God wants strong marriages in our church. Amen. He wants strong marriages everywhere. But if our church can have strong marriages, then we can help our society to have strong marriages. Amen. And how many of you know that premarital counseling is much easier than postmarital counseling? It's a whole lot easier to put the markers up and know the things to look for going into the marriage than it is once the marriage has already happened. And so we want strong marriages. You know, I found this interesting. I was looking at some statistics. Do you know the divorce rate is higher in the South than it is in the North and out West? In the Bible Belt, divorce rate is the highest. And now some people have said that that could be because up North and out West, they tend to be a little more liberal and people just live together. There's not as many marriages happening, so there may not be as many people to get divorced. You know, I believe one of the reasons that marriages are struggling and that there's a problem with marriages is because we spend more time teaching our 16-year-olds how to drive than we do how to be prepared for a healthy marriage. We need to turn it around and begin to teach our young people, begin to teach our children. How do you prepare to get married? Come on, mamas and daddies. We need to be preparing our kids for this thing called marriage. In California, they have a new trend. It's called starter marriages. Starter marriage is a marriage that lasts less than 5 years, ends in divorce, and the couple has no children. And these are couples that just say, well, we're just going to try marriage out. If it doesn't work, we'll get divorced. See, that's how our society views so many things anymore, is just we can just throw it aside. We can just discard it if it doesn't work. And in 2002, Pamela Paul wrote a book called The Starter Marriage and the Future of Matrimony. And she analyzed historical trends of marriage in America. And she found that couples were not getting married for reasons that promoted long-term relationship. Here's what she found. These were the reasons that people were getting married. They got married to complete a power couple life. She's strong, he's strong, we'll get married and we'll be strong together. Or they got married because they just wanted to move out of mom and dad's house. You ever seen any young couples like that? They just want to run off and get married because they want to be out from under mom and daddy's thumb. Or they were just fascinated with weddings. Oh, I just want to be a bride. Woo! Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Let's just get married. Let's just see what it's like. These are some of the reasons that these couples are getting married. They had been dating a long time, and marriage was easier than breaking up. It was just easier to get married than it was to break up. Now, you think about it, in some of these places, California and other, where people have already lived together and they're moving in together. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's easier. Let's just get married and then break up. And finally, in the book, she goes on to discuss the emotional wreckage that is left by these divorces. These are people that have been married less than 5 years. And emotionally, they are devastated. Emotionally, they are wrecks after this happened. That's why we want to do this series on marriage. We've got to close the doors. Close the doors that seek to destroy marriages. We can't afford to have our families breaking apart. Amen? And if you're in a second marriage, and then it's okay. We want to add value. If you've been divorced, it's okay. We are not out to get you. But if you're single and you're saying, I might want to get married again one day, these are things that you can learn and things that you can know so that the next time around will be better. Amen? You know, God's design for marriage was oneness. God's design for marriage was unity, that a husband and wife become one flesh, the Bible says. But if we are not working towards oneness, then the result is isolation. Have you ever noticed that? When you and your spouse, when me and Renee are not taking time for one another, we're not doing what we should be doing, the tendency is that I get more isolated in my stuff and she gets more isolated in her stuff, and before long there's friction in the marriage relationship because we're not communicating, we're not talking. Now, I'm sure it's none of y'all's homes, it's probably just mine and hers. We want to close the door on divorce and open the door that's going to strengthen our marriages. You know, divorce has increased 700% in the last 50 years. It's become abnormal for there to be both a man and a woman at home. It's not normal anymore. It's not normal. It's not the norm. Single moms or single dads is the norm. Brother Larry and I were talking about this yesterday at breakfast, things that he sees at the hospital and things that he's dealing with people. And absentee moms are becoming just as big of a problem as absentee fathers. We've opened a door, and that door is destroying the family. Do you know that only 50% of men after divorce will see their children regularly? Only half will really get to see their kids. Do you know that for every $10 that you have as a married couple to spend, that once you're divorced, you only have $3. So together you had $10 to spend. They say marriage actually makes you healthier. It gives you more money to spend. People live longer that are married than people that stay single, people that are that never marry. And so for every $10 you would have after you're divorced, you only have $3. And so this is just to show you the devastation. And we understand. I know there's people here that have been divorced. Divorce has touched my family. I have a sister that got divorced, and it was devastating for her. Divorce is like a death because you were joined to that person that you married. And so there are people that you got divorced and you went kicking and screaming all the way to the lawyer, to the courthouse. You didn't want to be divorced. You fought it all the way, but the other person wouldn't have it. And then there are some of you that would probably say, I was the problem, right? And you've repented of that and are working through that, if you're married again or not, whatever the thing is. And so we are not out to condemn anybody. And if you feel condemned at any point as we're talking about this, that's not the intention. The devil wants to condemn you. The Spirit of God wants to set us free and lead us to repentance. Because marriage is hard. Married couples, marriage is hard, right? It's very hard. Two different personalities, different DNAs, different upbringings, different mindsets. You bring all that into a home and you try to, everybody's going to just get along. It's hard. Together is hard. It's difficult. And I want to remind you, we've been saying this now for several weeks, and we did our baggage series last Sunday. I'm going to say it this Sunday. Quit looking backwards. Quit looking back. Quit looking to the past. Look forward to what God has for you in the future, not how you failed back there. Now, Malachi 2:16, Israel, put it up on the screen for you. Malachi 2:16 says, I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Now, I want you to understand this. I've always kind of read that and thought, and God says, I hate divorce. And we hear that, sort of ominous tone. But you know, when a person has been divorced, they hear that, and what they hear many times is, God hates me. And that's not true. God is not saying he hates someone that has been through a divorce. What God is saying is, I hate divorce. And you know what? I hate divorce. And if you've been divorced, you hate divorce because divorce is not fun. Divorce is terrible. Divorce, it is like we said, it's like a death. And so just God is saying, just like we would say, I hate divorce because I hate what it does to my children. I hate what it does to my people. And we're talking about doors. Listen, it's easy. Just one step in the wrong direction, just one poor decision, and you could be through that door that would lead from bliss to horror. Come on, just one mistake. So we've got to say, close the door. Listen, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the man who built his house upon the rock. Remember, there's a man that built his house upon the sand, a man that built his house upon the rock. The winds came, the storm came, and the house on the sand was destroyed, but the house that was built on the rock stood. Amen? And come on, if your house, if your marriage is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ, no storm is going to tear it down. Amen? Despite how you feel, despite what's going on, if you're house is built on the right foundation. If your home is built on the right foundation. Now, so let's talk about some of these doors. I'm just going to talk about two doors this morning. I had six doors, I think, but I'm not going to give you all six at one time. The door number one. Door number one that we need to close if we want our marriages to be strong is the door of independence. Independence. Have you noticed that two people can be married but not be a couple? They're living under the same roof, but they're living apart. He does his thing, she does her thing. They're independent. Now listen, individuality is good. Being an individual is good. Being who God created you to be is good. Independence is not. And listen, there is a trend that is happening. It's something we all deal with, and it may sound old-fashioned, but social media is one of the worst things that has ever happened to marriage. It can so adversely affect a marriage relationship. Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, whatever it is, all the others. There's a countless number of other things. And all of these social network mediums are chiseling away at our interpersonal relationships. And nothing is worse for a marriage than that type of independence. Now, come on, tell the truth. When you do finally get a few minutes alone with your spouse, mamas and daddies, you get the babies put away, right, put to bed, and you get a few minutes alone, you're not really alone. You're with your 963 other friends on Facebook, right? Come on, that happens in mine and Renee's house. We'll get the boys to bed. We'll be laying there in the bed, and we'll be talking. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my phone before I go to bed, see, did I get any other messages? Did something happen on Facebook that I might miss before I go to sleep? And she's got her phone over there, and we're supposed to be having this, you know, couple times sitting here talking before we go to bed. I'm not even talking about any other stuff. I'm just talking about just talking, okay? We can't put the phone down long enough. I had a cartoon, and I forgot to put it in the slides. Amy posted it this week, and it was all these people standing in heaven. They've just arrived in heaven, and it says, I'll put it here real small. It says, most of the new arrivals seem incapable of communication. They just stand there looking like this, and there's nothing in their hands. You know, they're just, what happened to my phone? Yeah. That's how we are. We've got a minute for dinner, and we're on our smartphones. A minute to sit down and eat, and we're on our phone instead of spending time. We don't talk anymore. I love watching teenagers nowadays. They'll be sitting next to each other carrying on a conversation on their phones. I mean, it's happening more and more. And it's not a smartphone. It's really a dumb phone. It's dumbing us down as a society, and some of you probably don't. I know I said it sounds old-fashioned, but listen to me. Direct messaging, texting, emails, there's no privacy anymore. And we're on a slippery slope that can lead a marriage to destruction. Not just texting, but all the other things that can happen with it, the sexting and all the other things that young people are doing and teenagers are doing. And listen, do you realize now where pornography used to be predominantly something that attacked men and there was a high percentage of men, that now the percentages are even for men and women that are addicted to pornography? Where did that come from? It came through Facebook. It came through social media. It came through all these open doors of women getting on the computer and all this bombarding of stuff. And the door to unfaithfulness goes wide open. And it's becoming easier and easier and easier, not only for husbands to walk through it, but for wives to walk through it. It's at our fingertips. You know, anymore, you can't say just to bring the computer in and put it in the living room where everybody shares the computer screen, because now it's on everybody's electronic device. If you don't believe me, ask a highly decorated 4-star former head of the CIA, 4-star general, if this stuff won't mess your marriage up. You know, several years ago, Renee and I had been married probably, 9 or 10 years. And we were busy in ministry, busy with small children. And in that first 9 or 10 years of our marriage, I don't know that we had ever, maybe one time, gone somewhere overnight. Just me and her. Date nights, very few and far between. You don't have anybody to watch your kids. We didn't live near family. And so the communication was not what it should have been. Busy in ministry, busy at church, busy doing stuff. And Renee, Facebook was really just beginning to take off. And she was on Facebook, I was on Facebook, and you catch up with old friends, catch up with other people. And she got a message from a guy that she'd gone to Bible college with. Never a boyfriend, never anything like that. I think he liked her, but she was never interested in Farmer Fred. And but here's what happened. Next thing you know, he's sending her messages. Hey, I'm coming to Bowling Green. I'm going to be passing through. I'd like to meet you. And so Renee's like, hey, I'm this guy, you know, that I used to go to Bible college with is going to be passing through, and he wants to meet. And I want you to come with me. And I said, I don't want to meet him. I could care less about meeting Farmer Fred. Lord have mercy. Just go do what you got to do. Go meet him or whatever. But she said no. And what happened was she realized, no, it wasn't like that. I trusted her completely. But see, I didn't know what type of thing was attacking her mind. Because what was attacking her mind was when she saw this and she saw, I wonder what he's become. I wonder what he's done with his life. What could my life have been like if maybe I had chosen a different path? You see how easy it is to open that door? And so Renee said, I need you to come with me. I don't want to open a door to the devil in any way. And so I was just dumb. I wasn't thinking about any of that. And I'm even telling her in the car, oh, honey, you ain't going to do nothing with this guy. Good grief. I didn't have to come. But it was protecting my wife. Come on, men. We've got to close the door and protect our families. God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door. And it wants to devour you. And we are the guard at the door. You got to close the door. I got to close the door in my home on anything that my boys might see or get involved in on the internet or with their iPods or any of those kind of things. They don't like it sometimes when mom and daddy come to begin to clamp in on some of those rules. But we're doing it to protect them. You've got to protect your family. Now, let me finish this story. We were so pulled, so stressed, so strained. We weren't talking. We weren't communicating. And Renee had opened up, you know, women talk, men don't. She had opened up to some of her college roommates from Bible college, and she said, we're struggling. Just, you know, we weren't going to get divorced. We weren't, but we were struggling. And so they said, man, you need to go to this marriage conference. It'll be great. So she tells me we're going to go to this marriage conference. I was like, hallelujah. Let's go listen to some more preaching. We're not at church all the time already. Let's just go listen to some more preaching. Great idea. Yeah, if I'm a pastor, I want to go on a vacation to a marriage conference. I'm just being honest. Is that okay? Can y'all handle that? So, a couple of days before we leave, and I better not tell that part of the story. We got young people in here. I'm editing. I'm sorry. I got mad at her. I got mad at her because in my mind, us going away for the weekend was one thing. All the men with me? Okay. And so she tells me that there's a particular thing that happens to women that was going to prevent that. And I was like, you scheduled this stupid thing on purpose. You did it on purpose. So she got mad at me. She went on to bed. And I stayed up. I was mad. I wasn't really mad at her. I was just mad at the whole thing. And here, we got the only time we've gotten away in years, and now this. Thanks, God. What did I do? So she gets up the next morning, and instead of me apologizing, I egged it on. And I started in a little bit more, just I didn't want to go, just this whole thing. She's leaving to go to work, and I realize after I opened my mouth that I had crossed a line that I didn't need to cross, and I'd gone too far. And she goes out and gets in the car, and I'm following her out to the car, and I'm trying to make peace. It's too late, right? Okay, sometimes people just need their distance. Man, she slammed that car in reverse, floored it out of that driveway, and as the car door's going by, hits me on the arm, and she just about drove over me. And all the women are like, yes! And I literally, when she pulled out of that driveway, now, to be honest, when she pulled out of that driveway, the thought hit me, is she going to come home? And I went in the house, and I fell down on my face, and I began to cry out to God. And I began to humble myself and to repent. I prayed for quite a while, and I went up to the school. Well, little did I know, she had gone up to the school, and they had a prayer room at the school. It's a Christian school the boys go to. And she'd gone in the prayer room, and she had done the same thing that I was doing. So we met a little bit later on, and things were not peachy keen. We were tolerable towards each other. And so we left to go to this marriage conference the next day with some real issues that needed to be worked out. And most of it was just a lack of communication, just a lack of spending time together, just a lack of being on the same page. You see, what happens is when we get too independent and I'm over here doing my stuff and she's over there doing her stuff, it opens a door. And we went to this marriage conference, and It was probably the greatest thing I have ever done in my entire life. There was no worship. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But they began to teach and they began to instruct. And our marriage, I won't say it was saved, because I don't really feel like we said early on in our marriage, divorce is not an option. We're taking the nuclear option off the table. And you know, when you say that, when you speak that out, we will not ever get divorced. That's just not an option for us. You pretty much remove that, and now you're forced to have to work things out. But it's for the better. And so we put things back together, and now we realize we thought we knew. You ever met somebody, they think they know, and you're listening to what they're telling you that they're wanting to do, and you're just, you just want to walk away laughing because you know they're too young or too dumb to know what they're really getting ready to get into, right? But one day they'll know, and then they'll come back to you, and they'll be a little more humble, and you'll be able to teach them a little better. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I don't even know what time it is. I'm not. We put things back together, and now we know what to look for. And we were discussing this week. We said it's been 7 years since we're celebrating. This next Friday, we'll be celebrating our 17th wedding anniversary. It's been 7 years since we did that, since we went away for a weekend. We said we need to do that again real, real soon. God wants to correct our independence. You see, marriage is... can't be 50-50. You hear it all the time. Let's just compromise. Listen, if you compromise this time on something that you want to do, then the next time your spouse is going to remind you, well, I gave you what you wanted over there, and so now it's going to be you get your way, and we continue to compromise. That's not how God designed marriage. Marriage isn't 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. It's 100%, 100%. You both have to be all in, all the time. Amen. If you want to be independent, don't get married.
That's right.
If you want to do life your own way, do your own thing, then don't bring another person into the relationship with you. Stay single. Do everybody a favor. Marriage is about partnership. It's not about independence. Some couples don't share finances or share last names. They have his account and her account and my money. That's not what God designed for the home. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh. It's a mystery, the Bible says. Why is it a mystery? Because it's a spiritual union. You see, that's why divorce is so hard. Because when we become one, how do you undo one? Some men, you hear them say, I can do what I want. My wife doesn't tell me what to do. And they laugh at men that'll call their wife and say, hey, honey, the guys want to go do this. Do you care if I go? That we're going to go shoot ball. We're going to go play golf, whatever. And then they make fun of the guy when he gets off the phone. Listen to me. It's not about permission. I'm not asking Renee permission. I'm giving her some respect. It's about cooperation. Independence opens the door to divorce. Partnership closes the door. Door number two, and we're gonna close, is past hurts. Everybody brings their past into anything that they've done. Whether you're married for the first time, whether you've been divorced and you're wanting to get remarried. Listen, we've all got a past. She's got hang-ups and hurts. You've got hang-ups and hurts. They've got a way. Their family did things. You've got a way. Your family did things. And you bring all that in. And when there's been hurts, we called it baggage. We did a whole series on baggage. There become trust issues, right? Let's just get right down to the... You're hanging on to your baggage. And as long as you're hanging on to your baggage, it will hinder your relationship. It will hinder the future of your relationship. And what happens is people bring their past, all their hurt, all this stuff into this relationship, and now maybe that relationship's over and they've started a new relationship, but before long the new relationship looks like the old relationship because they haven't let go of the stuff in their past. Do you hear what I'm saying? They can't trust, they can't love, they can't open up. And let me tell you something, single people, if you start dating and you meet some guy or some girl that's angry and they're violent in their anger and they're horrible when they're angry, they treat people like dirt when they're angry, run away. Get far, far away from that type of person. Oh, but he didn't really mean it. He didn't really mean to hit me. Well, yeah, he did. He can't help himself because it's who he is. Run away from that type of a person. They won't change once you marry them. In fact, marriage will only magnify the issue. If they're abusive now, they'll be abusive later, and it doesn't matter whether it's a guy or a girl. The police will tell you now that they are going to domestic violence cases and the women are the ones that are abusing the men. And we sometimes want to sit back and laugh and say, what's wrong with that guy? Listen, you get somebody that's violent, it doesn't matter. And women can be just as violent, if not more violent at times than men. And when there's demons involved, and that's what happens when we're angry and we're irritable and we're allowing, who knows? Somebody's unsaved. Run away. Come on. The process of closing the door to the past is by getting well. You've got to become emotionally healthy. You've got to get well. You need to be made whole. Get counseling. Do whatever it takes to let go of the hurt of the past. Sometimes it's not enough just to come to an altar and let the pastor or let people pray for you. Some people get delivered that way, but some people, they need counseling. They need a help. They need a continual relationship with somebody that can help them let go of the past so that healing can come. The best thing you can give your spouse is a healthy you. If I'm unhealthy, guess what? My relationship with Renee is going to be unhealthy. My relationship with my kids will be unhealthy. My relationship with God will be unhealthy. Let me tell you something. Healthy people don't cuss and scream and kick and punch. Healthy people don't throw things. Healthy people, you're talking to Christian people, Jimmy. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to help you. Because some people don't know what healthy looks like. And if you're around somebody like that, or maybe you see some of this in yourself, what do? Come on, we got to grab the cross. Because that's the only place that we can get healed. And you got to grab the cross of Jesus and say, Jesus, wash me. Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, forgive me. Help me to forgive myself. Help me to forgive my spouse. Help me, make me whole. Make me healthy. I want to be all that you've called me to be. I'm not perfect. I've done some of these things. You're breaking the curse. The curse has to be broken because there's generational curses. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of doors, maybe in past relationships that have been opened. If you were sexually promiscuous before you got married, those doors have been opened and it needs to be broken at the cross. And listen to me, if you make the choice, God will make the change. If you make the choice, well, that's good. Somebody needs to tweet that. If you make the choice, God will make the change. If you'll make the choice to say, God, I'm coming after you. I'm giving you my whole life. I'm giving you free reign. Change me. I'm tired of being angry, irritable, mad. I'm tired of cussing. I'm tired of being ugly. I'm tired of being hateful to my wife. I'm tired of not loving my kids. I'm tired of who I've become because I've been running my life long enough by myself, and guess what? I've made a mess of it. Come on, healthy people communicate. Healthy people are optimistic. Healthy people look to the future. They have a bright outlook. They're not walking around angry and mad and irritable all the time. Healthy people laugh. They enjoy life. They're encouraging. They pay compliments to others. They're always looking out for the best interest of others. They're not overly critical. Just cling to the cross. See, in marriage, we must become selfless lovers instead of selfish lovers. Selfless instead of selfish. Come on, it's time. We've got to deal with the past and let God heal us. So I want the best marriage. I want to be the best I can be for Renee. I want to be the best I can be for you. You know, so why in the world does God care so much about marriage? And we'll close with this, and we're gonna finish by renewing our vows. God, why does God care so much about marriage? Listen, because it was His idea. He created it. He set the plan in motion. He created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and, created the man and the woman. He put the man in the garden. And you remember, He brought all the animals to Adam in the garden and said, see who's compatible to the man. Who could be a suitable helper for the man? And Adam names all the animals. And God says there wasn't a suitable helper found for the man. And so what did God do? God made Eve. He created Adam out of the dust of the ground, but He made Eve out of the rib of the man. He opened the man's side and He took the rib and He fashioned the woman, put Adam to sleep. Do you imagine Adam asleep? God does surgery on him, fashions this good looking woman, probably the best looking woman ever lived. And Adam's laying there asleep. Imagine Adam waking up, and all of a sudden he looks in the distance and he sees the light of God, the light that probably emanated from God walking towards him like he had in the garden day after day. But this time something's different. God's bringing somebody else to Adam. It's the very first wedding ceremony. He brings Eve. The Father walks her down the aisle and He hands her to Adam. And He said, this is now, Adam looks at her. He says, whoa, man. And that's what He named her, woman, because she was taken out of the man. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Adam recognized that she was literally taken out of him. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things about the crucifixion of Jesus. They took the spear and they thrust it into His side, and out blood and water flowed. The sure sign of His death, that what He had done on the cross was completed. The first Adam's side was opened. The rib was taken out to give Him a wife. The second Adam's side was opened to give Him a bride, the church. Man, your wife is that precious. Marriage is important to God because it's a picture of His Son in the church. There's a marriage that's coming one day, a marriage that you and I will participate in. If you call yourself a Christian, if you say, I'm a child of God, you're betrothed to the Son of God. You're engaged. It's a lot more than what we call engagement. You're betrothed. It was almost like they were married in the Old Testament. It was like they were married, they just hadn't consummated the marriage. And you and I are betrothed to Jesus, and He's going to come again. That's why he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, but I will come again. He's talking about the bridegroom coming for his bride. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's why marriage is important. Well, we want the best marriages. We want to close the door to divorce. We want to close the door to sin. And it's not just in your marriage. Come on, it's in your life. Come on, these aren't just vows that we make between a husband and wife. Listen, these are vows that you make to Jesus. If you're single, it doesn't matter. You can realize you're married to Jesus and live for him. Close the doors to divorce. Listen, it comes two ways. How do we close the door? Number one, it comes through repentance. Come on, let's do this right now. And then we're going to ask all the married couples in the room to come forward. Let's do this first. Everybody stand up. Just everybody close your eyes. Nobody looking around. This isn't about husbands and wives right now. This is about our hearts. Come on, how many of you know we've messed up? I've messed up. I've sinned. I've done things. I know we had a time where we talked about this at the end of worship. Come on, how many of you know we want to be the best? We want the best marriages. We want to be the best people, the best disciples of God that we can be, the best children of God that we can be. And the only way we can do that when we mess up is to be honest and repent. Right? Come on, let's do that right now. Come on, just right now in your own way. Just repent before God. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that repentance would fall on your people. Repentance would fall on each of our hearts. Come on, just be honest before God. God, I've messed up. God, I've done things that are wrong. I've done things to hurt my wife. I've done things to hurt my children. I've done things at work. I've done things. I've looked at things. I've been on the internet. I've done whatever. God, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Repentance means that we don't just ask God to forgive us, but we're going to turn around and go in a whole new direction. That's what repentance means. And today, God, we turn around and we go a whole new direction in you. God, that our lives, our marriages, and our homes would be the very best that they could be. Lord, if you meant that, just tell the Lord right now, Lord, I want a new beginning. I want a fresh start in you. Hallelujah. You know, we don't just want it individually. We want it with our marriages. I'm going to ask all the married couples, if they would, to just come up here. Come to the front. You guys come right here, front and center. Bruce, go get Brenda. I'll tell you what to do. Come on, even if you're visiting, if you're married, come on up here. I don't know. If you're not, that's fine. If you're not married, then. You know, there's three keys. Y'all just turn to your spouse, just face each other. Tim and Beth celebrated their 10th. Not only got a house this week, but they celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary. And so they had said, you know, we want to renew our vows. And we originally were going to do it after church, and then we started talking, and I said, well, can we do it for all the married couples? And they said, well, sure, it's fine with us. So we're honoring their anniversary, mine and Renee's anniversary. Who else has, anybody else have an anniversary in April? Anybody else? Amen. Vernon, how many years have y'all been married now? 52. Amen. That's a long time. You know, there's three keys to making marriage work. Love, loyalty, and the Lord. It takes love, it takes loyalty, and it takes the Lord. Now, men, look at your wives in the eyes And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do it all together. I'm not going to ask you individually. And then you will respond with I do or I will or whatever after we say this. Say, will you, men, including myself, take this woman to be your wife? Will you commit yourself to her happiness and her fulfillment as a person, to her usefulness in God's kingdom? And will you promise to love, honor, trust, and serve her in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, to be true and loyal to her so long as you both shall live? If you do, say, I will again. I will again. That was me. All right, ladies, will you take this man to be your husband? Will you commit yourself to his happiness and his fulfillment as a person, to his usefulness in God's kingdom? Will you promise to love, honor, trust, and serve him in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, be true and loyal to her, to him, sorry, so long as you both shall live? If you do, say, I will again.
I will.
Amen. You know, the wedding ring is a symbol of marriage. It's a symbol in two ways. The purity of the gold and the unending circle symbolize both the purity and the unending vows which you're making again today. Now, men, whether you can get the ring off your wife's finger or not, because I know I can't get my ring off my finger, either slide her ring off, or have her take it off and hand it to you. If she can't, then just put your hand on that ring and do it that way. And repeat after me, men, say, with this ring, I pledge my life and love to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies, you do take his ring or put your hand on his ring finger. That's what we're having to do. And repeat after me. Say, with this ring, I pledge my life and love to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read these verses from Ruth. They summarize the commitment that we are making again to our spouses today. Ruth 1, 16 and 17 says, ask me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me. Now, all of you sitting down are the witnesses. And since these couples have made these commitments before God and you by the authority of God and his word, I now pronounce us husbands and wives again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're no longer two independent persons but one. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen. Men, are you ready? You may kiss your bride. Amen. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today?